Evening. I'd like to call to order the Oro Valley Town Council regular session for October 21st, online Zoom meeting. Mr. Standish, if you would do roll call.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Here.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Here.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. Thank you. I move to go into executive session with the town manager, town attorney, and the town clerk.
I'll second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councilmember Jones Ivy. Mr. Standish, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Aye.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Aye.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Yes.
Councilmember Pena.
Yes.
Councilmember Rodman.
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon.
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield.
Yes. Just as a reminder, we'll exit the public session Zoom meeting and join the executive session Zoom meeting. Thank you. I would like to reconvene our regular session of the Oro Valley Town Council October 21st, 2000 online Zoom meeting. Mr. Standish, roll call.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Present.
Councilmember Jones Ivy.
Present.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Here.
Councilmember Pena.
Here.
Councilmember Rodman.
Here.
Councilmember Solomon.
Here.
And Mayor Winfield.
Here. Thank you, Mr. Standish. This evening, the flag video will be displayed on the screen. And Councilmember Jones Ivy will recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember Jones Ivy. Mr. Standish, upcoming meeting announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The October 27th Board of Adjustment meeting has been canceled. The Planning and Zoning Commission will be holding a special session on October 27th at 6 p.m. via Zoom. The Historic Preservation Commission will be holding their next regular session on November 2nd at 5 p.m. And then the next regular session town council meeting will be on November 4th at 6 p.m. via Zoom. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Are there council reports this evening? Hearing none, we'll move to the town manager's report. Ms. Jacobs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. First of all, I just want to alert our community, if you haven't been noticing, to be a patient with potential backups here on town campus. Our Oro Valley Library will be serving as an early ballot drop-off location and also as an early voting location starting next week. That will happen, the early voting. And so I encourage our residents to go to the Pima County website, pima.gov, in order to get more details about hours of operation. Also, I just want to, we know that our residents are all deciding, our families deciding, what are the best ways to celebrate Halloween this year, and I wanted to offer up something that the town is doing. So we encourage you and to pack up the family in the car and join us for a drive-through Halloween spooktacular that will be on Halloween evening. The community center will host this event from 6 to 8 p.m. that night. And each child in the car will get a goodie bag filled with candy and treats. The event will also include an online costume contest and a cast of costume characters that folks will be able to say, our young people will be able to say hello to. The drive-thru experience will ensure social distancing, and the bags of candy that are being passed out will be done so by staff wearing appropriate PPE. Also, I just want to let our community and the council know that starting next month, we are going to be embarking on a new program called This is Oro Valley. This is an opportunity that we felt would be great to help showcase all of the things that make Oro Valley such an extraordinary place to live, help our residents feel more connected to their local government. So we'll have some ads, some articles, and I'm really happy to be hosting the town's first official podcast called This is Oro Valley. So next month, we'll be starting with community policing. So the Chief Riley will be joining me on our inaugural podcast, and we're really excited to, you know, have another opportunity to delve a little bit deeper into the great services that our staff provides to the residents of Oro Valley. So with that, Mr. Mayor, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. The agenda will remain as posted. And I'd like to thank everyone for taking time to join us this evening. This meeting is taking place online to comply with the ongoing social distancing requirements and ensure the community's ability to participate. In order to participate, one must be logged into Zoom directly by computer or telephone. For those who are unfamiliar with the Zoom software, I'd like to provide a quick overview on how to participate this evening. Everyone's microphone, except for the individual that has the floor, will be muted throughout the meeting to ensure as smooth and efficient meeting as possible. Only select staff can turn on your microphone at the appropriate time if you would like to ask a question or provide comments. I will do my best to let everyone know when it is appropriate to raise your hand for a particular agenda item. If you wish to address the council on any agenda item or during the call to audience, please raise your hand only when I announce it's appropriate to do so. There are two ways to do this. For those participating on any platform other than by phone, find and select the participants icon at the bottom of your screen. This will open a dialog box that lists all participants in the meeting. Scroll down until you find your name and select your name. Once your name is selected, a second box will pop up where you will have the option to raise your hand. For those participating by phone, press *9 to raise your hand. Please wait to raise your hand until the appropriate agenda item has been announced and after I've announced the opportunity to do so. Otherwise, we'll not be able to discern which topic that you wish to address in relation to the agenda. Our aim is to proceed in a timely and efficient manner. Once your hand is raised, staff will be alerted to your request to speak. So please raise your hand if you have a question or comment after I announce the appropriate time to do so. At the appropriate time, I will call on those with their hands raised to provide questions or comments. I will then announce your name and staff will unmute your access so you can speak. Please make you're not also muted on your personal device if you would like to speak. Please don't raise your hand until we have made it to that item on the agenda. As with all town council meetings, please clearly state your name and whether or not you are an Oro Valley resident. Also, speakers are limited to no more than 3 minutes. A timer will be used as within in-person meetings, and we ask that you please respect the 3-minute limit. Thank you for your patience while I went through that. We now have a call to the audience, and Mr. Standish has provided in advance that there are some members of the public that would like to speak to call to audience. So this would be the time to go to that participants list, to click on that, to click on your name, and then with that, the hand icon will come up, and you'll want to then click on the hand. Okay, and I'm trying to find, there we go. All right, so before we have call to the audience, I'll read the following. Pursuant to the Arizona Open Meeting Law, Mayor and Council are not allowed to discuss, respond to, or take legal action on matters raised during call to audience. At the conclusion of call to audience, council members may direct staff to review the matter, ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda, or respond to criticism made by speakers. If you wish to address the council on a matter not on the agenda, please notify us by clicking raise your hand icon on your computer and pressing *9 on your phone now. So for those that would like to speak to call to audience, and I have two anticipating a third, but if anyone has joined us this evening and you would like to speak at call to audience, this would be an item that's not on tonight's agenda. This would be the time. So I'm going to invite Mr. Dave Perry. If the staff would unmute Mr. Perry. And Mr. Perry, would you like to have your video?
Sure, please. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. And if staff, if you would please, there we go. There's that handsome face.
Sorry about the distorted view there, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the opportunity to speak. Mayor, council, staff, and public, I'm Dave Perry, president and CEO of the Oro Valley Chamber and proud resident of Oro Valley for 12 years. Hard for me to speak tonight, but I express my personal thanks as well as that of the chamber to outgoing council members Rhonda Pena and Bill Rodman. Rhonda and Bill, I wish we could do this in person. You've been exemplary public servants. I've always appreciated that you do the work, you show up, you listen, you consider complexity and consequence of a decision, and you debate the best course of action. I'd say to the public, and I believe this, they've always done so without a preconceived notion or an agenda. Bill and Rhonda ask one overriding question: what's in the best interests of Oro Valley and its citizens? Rhonda, you've lived here a long time. You know people. You've brought this great financial understanding to the governing board. You have consistently reached out to me to get the pulse and issues of the business community, and I've greatly appreciated that. Bill Rodman has reached out a bunch, and I've taken a lot of counsel from Bill over the years. And I want to tell people that they're pro-business, but not at the expense of the citizenry. I believe that they share our chamber's vision that good business and good community go hand in hand. They complement one another, and they're not adversarial. Beyond business, Bill and Rhonda have been champions of public safety, smart growth, wise fiscal practice, and they've also let the staff do their jobs, which I think is so important. Bill, you bring this remarkable resume of government experience, some of it at the highest levels of state government in Illinois, to all of us. I love when you describe yourself as a recovering attorney, but that skill that you've developed has been so apparent as you help guide this group through complex issues and arrive at good decisions. You know, beyond their skills and experience, the two of you have acted with grace and respect for all people. You've been outstanding representatives for Oro Valley, and you've set a great example for all of us as we move forward. As you may know, there's an election going on. And we always hear this question: are we better off than we were 4 years ago? Well, I can say in this community that thanks to Rhonda Pena and Bill Rodman, I can say without hesitation that yes, Oro Valley is a better place because they have been here and they have given us their time and service. So Rhonda and Bill, I'm gonna miss you. Thank you so much for all that you've done, and I know we'll see you about. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Perry.
Thank you, Dave.
Mr. Molnar is to address the council. So staff, if you would please enable Mr. Molnar's microphone to speak. Mr. Molnar, would you like your video turned on?
No, I'm good. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Hi, everybody. My name is Rich Molnar. My wife, Lori, and I have lived in Oro Valley for about 13 years. Just a few comments. We watched yesterday's Parks and Recs meeting video on the town website. And quite frankly, many of us are not pleased about what was presented. For Pros Consulting's Mike Spetz to say that Rancho Vistoso is a self-contained community with just mini parks, and that we or any community north of Tangerine Road should not receive any tax dollars, we believe is ridiculous and reprehensible. Many of my neighbors have also voiced this opinion today. Rancho Vistoso residents are still dealing with the former Vistoso golf course and really have proven our commitment to the conservation and preservation of this 208 acres. The proposed 6-mile walking trail will address the needed recreational green space and wildlife conservation north of Tangerine Road. I think that failure to acknowledge this area in Parks and Recreation's planning and investment risks alienation of quite a few of the people of Oro Valley, the residents. You know, honestly, with what's going on with the golf course and this whole situation with Parks and Recs, I wonder if the town of Oro Valley even cares about many of the residents of Rancho Vistoso and our dilemmas. One of the most important things I'd like to get across tonight regarding the closed Rancho Vistoso golf course. I want to ask the town council to formally agendize this issue because the residents want the town council to act on this issue so it's resolved sooner than later. And rather than just to go on about the golf course for another couple of minutes, and we all know the owner won't accept fair market value. Everybody doesn't want to change the plan. We want to keep it as open space. We're requesting that you basically consider condemnation, and that's of all 208 acres. Our property values and quality of life really have been impacted long enough. So I'm asking, please act now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Again, we're at a call to audience. If there is anyone that would like to speak to the council on a topic that is not on the agenda for this evening, this is your opportunity to do so. You would click on the participants list at the bottom of the screen. Your list of names should come up. You find your name, click on your name. There's a hand icon. You click on that to raise your hand. If you're on the phone and you would like to speak this evening, it's star 9. So seeing no hands raised, I will close call to audience.
Mr. Mayor.
And we will go to...
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, do we?
Yep, Mr. Mayor, I do have Teresa on the line. I just don't believe she is hitting the star 9 on her phone, but we could try to unmute her and see if she's there.
Okay, I'm not seeing her on my...
Okay, I think she's...
Okay, Teresa. Okay. All right, usually they come up to the top, so... Teresa, if you would like to speak to the council, this is your opportunity to do so. If you would press star 9 on your phone. And then staff, I don't know if there's a process for unmuting when someone calls.
Have been informed we're trying to unmute her, but we are unable to.
So, Mr. Cohen. Mr. Cohen.
There. I had to wait for the host to unmute me.
Okay. So we're having, it sounds like some technical problems. If I call to the audience, or if I close call to the audience, and then we've resolved these technical issues, can I invite Teresa to speak at some other time of this meeting?
Yes. At the conclusion, I think we can go back and go back. We can close it and then move forward. And then if it gets resolved, we can go back and reopen that matter.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor. You're welcome.
Yes,
prior to closing, according to the call of audience, it says individual council members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda that was discussed.
I'd like to request that the matter regarding the Vistoso Golf Course be placed on the November 18th agenda simply as discussion and possible action regarding the closed Vistoso Golf Course.
I'll second.
Okay. Any...
No need for a vote on that.
Yeah. So I'm gonna close call to audience. But Teresa, if we can somehow get the technical problems resolved, we'd certainly like to give you the opportunity to speak this evening. Okay. We'll go to presentations, Mr. Standish.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
Sorry. Can I add to Councilmember Solomon's adding it to the agenda that we can also discuss the Parks and Recreation study that was mentioned in the same call to audience to the agenda? I'd like to request that that be added as well.
That's fine with me.
That sounds like that's a second. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so are we ready now for presentations? Presentation one, Mr. Standish.
Recognition of outgoing members of council, Councilmember Pena and Councilmember Rodden.
Ms. Jacobs.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council. As you know, in this business, we have elections every 2 years, and my practice has always been that we celebrate our outgoing council members. 2 years ago, we had a reception for outgoing council members. Unfortunately, this year we're obviously not able to do that. But we do want to thank council members Rodman and Pena. We want to celebrate their service, and so we have a few things we want to present remotely to them. But first, the staff also wanted to demonstrate their appreciation, and so we have a brief video that we'd like to show at the beginning of this recognition. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Lenny.
Rhonda and Bill, on behalf of all of the employees here at the town of Oro Valley, we want to thank you for your service. Thank you for your dedication, and thank you for your commitment to all of us and to this entire community. We wish you all of the best in your future endeavors, and I know that we will continue to see you here involved in this community. Best wishes to you both.
Hey, Rhonda. Hey, Bill. It's Tobin. I just wanted to take this time to say thank you so much for being council members. It was great working with you, and I'm going to miss you.
Every interaction that I've had with both of you has been more than professional, so I want to thank you for that. Best of luck to both of you, and look forward to hopefully seeing you soon. Thank you.
Rhonda and Bill, I just want to thank you for all your hard work and dedication that you've provided to the town over the last 4 years. You will be sorely missed, but not forgotten.
Rhonda and Bill, thank you both so much for all the support you've given us over these past 4 years. It's truly been an honor working both with you and for you. And I'm going to miss you guys.
I want to thank you both for the tremendous love you have shown the men and women of the Oro Valley Police Department. Personally, your friendship and support has meant the world to me. This certainly isn't goodbye.
Bill and Rhonda, thank you so very much for your outstanding leadership in our community, on the council, and your strong ongoing support for economic development. You two will be missed.
Rhonda and Bill, thank you so very much for all of the support you've given to the Parks and Recreation Department, the kind words you've given to me and many of our team members.
We will miss you greatly, and I wish you the best.
Councilmember Rodman and Pena, you have both given so much of your time and energy to the town and all of its staff. Thank you for your support. As your police chief, it has been a pleasure working for both of you.
Ms. Pena and Mr. Rodman, I want to thank you on behalf of myself and the court for your constant support of the court and our drug court program. Your service to the community is greatly appreciated. I wish you all the best.
Bill and Rhonda, you both brought so much integrity and wisdom to the town of Oro Valley, and it's been an honor to call you my council members. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. So, Mayor and members of council, Rhonda and Bill, since we're being a little less formal here in this, we do have a couple of items that we wanted to present to you this evening. And since we have to do this remotely, Joe has a picture that I'd like him to pull up. So I'm gonna wait till it shows up. I'm sure Joe's busily working on that right this second.
Mary Jo's having some technical challenges, so he's working on it for the moment.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll just continue as we, I'll show you the picture in just a moment. Oh, there we go. So this evening we have for each of you, first of all, a beautiful engraved, it's not a trophy, but you guys deserve a trophy, as any member of the elected body deserves a trophy. Each one of them engraved to you specifically, and it says, in recognition of your devoted public service, exemplary leadership, and selfless dedication to the town of Oro Valley Town Council from 2016 to 2020. We also have, and again, it was difficult. We wanted to get all of the employees to sign the framed prints that we've done, but these prints are reflective of your role and your participation in the town, and so they are specifically printed and framed for you, and I hope you'll enjoy hanging them somewhere special in your homes. And then lastly, we also have for you both a jacket that has the town seal on it, without the council member on it, because we wanted you to continue to be proud to sport our logo, our seal, and we know that we will continue to see you in the community. People don't understand what a tough job being an elected official is, but I do, because I've had the privilege and honor of working with many, many elected officials over the past 25 years. And so once again, on behalf of the staff, I wanna thank you for all that you have done for us, all of the support, all of the constructive criticism, the direction, the dedication, and we wish you just nothing but the best in your future endeavors. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to the mayor. Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs, and appreciate staff pulling that video together and those gifts. I'm sure will be received very well by Bill and Rhonda. Bill and Rhonda, I've have the practice of reading in the evening to my wife, or reading a book that the chapter currently is about generosity. And there's a quote by Winston Churchill that says, we make a living by what we earn. We make a life by what we give. And I know that at the heart of public service is really a desire to give of one's time, to give of one's talents, and at times to give of one's treasure. And I've certainly appreciated the opportunity to serve on the council with each of you. I've admired your commitment, your dedication to the community, and the amount of effort and preparations that you've made in terms of preparing for council meetings. I will miss, Bill, the occasional notes scribbled on a yellow pad. Of course, I've missed that for the past several months, but I've appreciated the note or two during the council meeting. And know that we wish you the best, and know that you'll continue to be an important part of our community. Thank you. I'd like to open it to other council members at this time for their remarks.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy.
Rhonda, Bill, it's been a pleasure. I've loved having you on council. We have had some disagreements, but we have not been disagreeable. And I just appreciate that so much. I appreciate your professionalism, the knowledge, the expertise that you've brought to council. And I want to wish you Godspeed.
Vice Mayor Barrett.
Yeah. Thank you. I want to thank both of you for your work and your professionalism and the example that you've set for me coming on to council. Rhonda, I've always looked up to you as a very professional woman and example, and I really appreciate all that you've brought to this, and I feel like I've learned a lot from serving with you and observing your interactions with other people. You're positive, you're professional, you can disagree without being disagreeable, and I really appreciate that about you and feel that I've learned from working with you, and I appreciate that. And similarly, Bill, I have a lot of respect for you. I've worked with you a long time. I consider you a friend, even when we disagree. I think that you ask the right questions, and I really appreciate your service to the town, and I feel like I've learned a tremendous amount from you, and anyway, I'll miss you both a lot. So thank you very much for your service.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
I've worked closely with Bill and Rhonda for 4 years now. They have become close friends. I really appreciate them. I think what Dave Perry said really summarized both of them and the reason they're on council. They're on council for what is best for Oro Valley. Everything they have ever done, every vote they have ever made, was based on not popularity, not what other council members were voting on, not what a group of people or the public wanted, but what was ultimately best for the entire town and the community. They've done an amazing job over the last 4 years in helping to move the community forward, and they have served with distinction, character, and integrity. So thank you, Bill and Rhonda. You're really going to be missed.
My turn. Of course, you could say you saved the best for last, but that's definitely not true. One thing I want to say for both of you guys, you're very well-spoken, eloquent. I'm super jealous because every time I hear you guys speak, I'm like, man, I wish I could be more like them. But and I also want to say thanks to Bill. When I became the chamber liaison, I came in the first meeting, I was very nervous and didn't know what to do. And Bill gave a very, very welcome introduction for me, and it meant a lot for me. And I still remember, and I always will remember that. It was very nice of you. And I want to say, like, you know, the council meetings, it's just like two best friends fighting each other in UFC. You know, you go in there, you touch gloves, you knock each other out. But at the end of the day, you know, you guys don't see the background. Like, when we go out in the back, we have our burgers or food or whatever, we chat away. And I enjoy fighting. I think one of the good things about, you know, a diverse council, have people different opinions, is, you know, you get two ideas, and then somewhere in the middle, you usually get the best outcome. So I do appreciate it. I do appreciate the intelligence. Both of you are very, very intelligent people. Make great points, great ideas, and sometimes I learn things, and sometimes I disagree with things, but I really do enjoy being on the council, and yes, you do try and coach us and help us along as well. You don't just let us sink completely. So I do appreciate that too, and you know, especially Bill, not saying Rhonda wasn't, but Bill especially is kind of a little bit of a mentor for me, and I really appreciate that, and I wish the best of you, and hopefully get to see you some more in the future. Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, may I say something before we end this presentation? Josh, Bill got one over on me now. I just want to say thank you to everyone. It is an absolute honor. I didn't realize it till I actually got here and started working. It is an absolute honor to serve the community and to work with the residents, the stakeholders, and our staff. And it's one thing to be out in the public, but it's one thing to sit in the seat. And then you get to really understand and learn just how much our staff does to serve our community. And they help us to be better council people and to be able to govern with really good solutions. And that was a big learning curve for me. And it's so appreciated. I can honestly say, bar none, we have the best community. We are the safest community. Thank you to Chief Riley and previous to that, Chief Sharp. But OVPD, they, as they've shown through this pandemic, our staff, all of our direct reports, all the way down to every single employee, we understand, I understand just how important they all are. And every day, they're so respectful and they always have a smile in what they do. So I just want to say thank you. And I understand how important leadership is. It's not a personal agenda. It's about serving the whole community. And I've enjoyed working on both councils. I've enjoyed the first council I was on, and then I've enjoyed this council. And so I just want to say thank you. And I appreciate the recognition. I got a little teary-eyed, I admit. So I just want to say thank you, and it means a lot to me. And I will be around, and I want to make sure and hope that we continue to all work together to do what's in the best interest of our town and make it the gem that it's been, even prior to all of us being here. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart.
I just want to echo the thank you. It was unexpected. I didn't know what to expect. And yes, I had some a little bit of tearing up going on too, because I didn't expect it, and I appreciate it. And thank you to my fellow council members for your kind comments. We have in a wonderful town, having spent 4 years on planning and zoning, and now the 4 years here, I know even more so what a wonderful town it is and what it takes for that town to become what it is and to continue to grow and move forward. You know, our town is probably the real example of what our founding fathers thought should happen with our form of government. That is, that sometimes we all join hands and move forward together, and other times we don't. And sometimes it's fun, and sometimes it's not. And but the whole idea of the ability and the right of everybody in our 45,000 people town to say what they think and to fight for that what they think is the right thing is a total example of it. And so even when I was not on the right side of it, at least I wasn't on the successful side of it, I understood how come and why, and I understood why people, how the genius of our country and our town. And you know, so to be part of that has been very, very special. And with all of that I have learned simply having been on the various positions I have, I can go back to my past recovering lawyer background. It'd almost be malpractice if I didn't stay involved. And I firmly intend to, where I think I can help, perhaps because of just the longevity of the time I've been there. But also I know that my fellow council members will be looking for and working for what's best for the town. And if I can help that, I will be more than willing to do that. So again, thank you for everything from everybody. And I know there's a whole bunch of people waiting to talk in the public hearing, so I'm going to shut up. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Rhonda and Bill and Council. And Rhonda and Bill, we do genuinely appreciate your service, your dedication to the town of Oral Valley. Thank you. Mr. Standish, item two.
Presentation and update by Executive Director Hillary Van Ellsberg of the Children's Museum Oral Valley.
Thank you.
Hello, and thank you. Welcome. I appreciate being here. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'm excited to see you have a Halloween plan.
You bet. That's right. In our roundtable call, that was a question, wasn't it?
Well, the kids of Oro Valley really thank you, I'm sure. So I know I don't have too much of your time, and it's a hard act to follow after all of those wonderful presentations, but I would like to offer my own thanks. I don't exaggerate when I say that the Children's Museum Oro Valley wouldn't be here if it wasn't for your support, and we are so grateful. This has been a challenging year for everyone, as I don't need to tell anyone. But the museum has really has pivoted quite successfully, and we're resilient, and we will focus on what we can get done while we're still remaining close to in-person visitation. And we've gotten very creative in the ways that we're updating the museum and really working on things. So I'll run through some of these slides just because I think images tell a better picture sometimes. We're updating our exhibits. We've got, as you can see in this picture, we've got a new train table coming in, and the little holes in the middle are for little people to go into the middle and really be able to access the trains, and all kids love trains. So this is a feature that we have in our downtown location, and we're so excited to be able to extend that up to the Oro Valley location. The little rainbow house is an example of the tippy townhouses that we've got in the main central feature of Toddler Town, and those have all been updated. And then really one of our focus areas is, while we're social distancing, we're trying to make sure that we're prepared for when families are able to come back into the space. And so we're really focused on updating the courtyard space. So we've introduced a new fort building feature, and our focus is on kids that are five and under. So this is one of those great activities where they can throw down the pillows and pretend it's hot lava and build their own blanket forts and do some of the fun creative stuff, but do it themselves in a safe way with their adult help. And then we're also introducing a very small water area. And I hesitate to say this because when you say water feature, it sometimes sounds like you're opening a water park, and we're certainly not doing that. But every kid likes to play like in a sand table and water feature. So we're introducing a fun and safe way to do that outside. So that's some of the updates on the exhibits. I don't think I have control over this, but I could go to the next. There you go. Thank you. One of the things that we've done during the closure, because we've been closed since March 15th to in-person visitation, is we've opened the doors to social bubbles. So you and your family can come to the Children's Museum Oro Valley just with your own family and come in and get a much needed break. And those are something that we launched in the summer downtown and thought, okay, let's see if these will work in the Oro Valley location. It's a smaller location, and we weren't sure how people would be comfortable, if they would be comfortable coming in. As you know, with children, they are high touch. You can't tell a kid that they can't touch things if you let them into the museum. Everything gets, and that's part of our mission, is hands-on. So we want to be able to reopen safely, and we want to be able to do it in a way that we can assure families we're sanitizing, we're getting everything that's been touched can be wiped down and cleaned and ready for the next family. So rather than asking the kids to do the impossible, we're just letting families come in one at a time. And those are still being offered and have been very well received. So I think the next... Yep, the virtual programming. This is such a success story. You know, everyone No one expected pandemic. No one really had a plan in place for what do you do. And so starting in March, we shut the doors to in-person, just like we needed to do. And then we went through our crisis planning and immediately pivoted to getting our work remote planning in place. And we shifted all of our programming to virtual. And that is a huge undertaking. And I will admit that our audience has been somewhat patient with us. We are not AZPM. We are not PBS. We are not Sesame Street. But we have our own flying squirrel. And we've done a lot of story time and a lot of Wee Wiggle. And we've introduced STEM Saturdays so we can do science programming. And we're doing Mindfulness Mondays because really in this time, it's really important for us to recognize that kids have stress and anxiety too. So we're working on getting them coping abilities and making sure that we're reaching families in new and creative ways. The numbers for our virtual program are through the roof. We had no idea that it would be as successful as it's been. You can see from these numbers, 28,000 people reached through the Facebook page just from April through September, just during the pandemic. So it's been, you know, 210,000 viewers reached through all of our different social media accounts means we're reaching people. We're helping families who are social distancing at home, and we're having success with it. And they're giving us that feedback, and we couldn't do that without your support. The last slide I have is this is actually quite a fun outreach program that the Brain Box program is something that we've never even considered doing before. It's normally when we have in-person visitation, you have the ability to have in-person experiences, and you can come and have a school trip, or you can come with your family, or we'll do outreach to your school. And obviously that's just not a reality in this time frame. So we thought, okay, well, what do families need? What do kids need? And they need stuff to do. They need a break, they need hands-on activities, and they need to make sure that whatever developmental gaps in their early childhood progress are as bolstered as they can. So we introduced an outreach program called Brain Boxes, where we are distributing science activities and arts activities with a booklet, so you don't even have to have internet access and you don't have to have an Amazon account. You can get a box, a brain box, and it has everything you need to do about 30 different science experiments. And these have been distributed through a partnership with the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and the Pima County Superintendent of Schools. They've helped us get those into Title I schools throughout the region. And I'll tell you, the photos that we're getting back, some of these photos are kids that are working with their brain boxes. They're heartwarming. We're recognizing that these are activities that kids wouldn't necessarily get to do at home, and their little brains are just cooking along. So it's fun and it's heartwarming, and they've been very well received. We've got a waiting list a mile long, so we're going to keep doing them as long as we can. So that's kind of an overall update on what's happening with the Children's Museum Oro Valley. And I'm happy to answer any questions. I don't know if that's appropriate in this format, but I do want the chance to just say thank you so much for helping us keep going.
Thank you, Hillary. Yes, we'll open it to the council if they have questions, comments.
Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Vice Mayor Perry.
I'd just like to express my appreciation for everything that you've been doing, and I fervently hope that you can continue your good efforts until we can be together in person one day again. I know I'm a Children's Museum member, and we have missed the Children's Museum and are looking forward to when we can come back and enjoy that camaraderie again. So thank you very much.
Oh, I love that feedback. Thank you. Thank you so much. And thanks for being a member. That means you get all of our updates.
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions?
Mr. Mayor, I just want to say that I think that the Children's Museum is such a wonderful addition for amenities here in Oro Valley. And it just does such a wonderful thing for our kids. Been there. I've taken grandkids there, and it's just so enjoyable. So thank you. And the partnership is great, and I'm hoping that we will continue that great partnership for the young ones in our community.
Thank you so much for that feedback. I so appreciate hearing that. We have valued your partnership more than we can possibly express. Thank you.
Well, Hillary, thank you for joining us this evening. We appreciate that presentation. Your enthusiasm is contagious, and I know it translates into the lives of children. So thank you for all that you do.
Well, we're happy to be here, and we thank you all. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Mr. Standish, item three.
Presentation and possible discussion of the town's fiscal year 2020-21 financial update through August 2020.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. I'm just waiting here a second for the presentation to come up. There we go. I'm pleased to be presenting our financial update through August. I will say at the outset that things continue to look very positive in all of our funds. Revenues in several critical areas trending above budget already. And so all good signs and good news tonight. Next slide, please. We'll be covering the usual funds tonight, our main tax-based funds, general fund, highway fund, and community center fund. We'll start off with the general fund on the revenue side, our major revenue sources, just walking through some of those. On the local sales tax, those look very positive through August. We're at just under $3.6 million, or about 20% through August, and that's pretty exciting considering that July and August tend to be kind of low months in terms of sales tax collections. Construction is plugging right along, as well as retail and online are doing quite well also. I think it's probably safe to say that at this point, if our current trends continue based on what we're seeing, we may be forecasting to come in over budget in that category as well. We'll keep watching those. It's early still. In our state shared revenues, we are at about $1.9 million through August with a budget of $13.2 million. Or just under 15% of budget. We are watching our state shared sales tax pretty closely. Those have been a little soft the first 2 months of the fiscal year. We've actually brought down that year-end estimate just slightly. And it's early. We'll keep watching that. We may very well come in on budget there, but just being conservative, we've gone ahead and brought down that year-end estimate just a bit under budget at this point. Charges for services, not really a surprise there. We are slightly below budgeted levels at about $335,000 through August. There's some seasonality in those revenue sources, but also that area has been hit pretty hard by COVID, aquatic center revenues, parks and rec classes, and that sort of thing. So we'll keep watching those closely too. Licenses and permits are doing very well, both on the commercial side and the residential side. Commercial activity strong. We had a large project come in for August. Our SFRs are also doing very well. You may recall we had early on been looking at about 300 SFR permits to budget for the year. We did bring that down to 225 because of COVID. But I'm pleased to report that we are at 61 permits issued through August and over 100 through September. So very positive there. And then the rest of our remaining revenues includes our grants, other intergovernmental revenues. The big chunk in there is our CARES funding, which we did receive in August. And so that is the bulk of those actuals there that you see through August. In total, the general fund revenues are at just under $12.2 million through August, or just over 28% of the budget. We are expecting them to end slightly above budget at this point, and that is due to licenses and permits, forecasting that to come in over, offset just a bit by that shortfall in the state shared sales tax that I mentioned. Next slide. On the expenditure side for the general fund, personnel is at about $3.1 million through August, or just under 11% of budget. That is trending slightly below budget year to date, but that's really primarily just due to the timing of our payrolls and when they've hit this fiscal year, as well as some slight vacancy savings that we're seeing too. O&M, the first few months of the fiscal year tend to be pretty light in terms of spending, so it's no surprise that we're trending below budget right now. We are expecting those to come in near budgeted levels at this point. For the capital, same thing there. The spending usually starts off pretty slow. The bulk of that budget is on some IT equipment, to grant-funded vehicles, and that kind of thing. So those will ramp up and increase as the fiscal year progresses. And in total, actuals for the general fund expenditures are just under $5.2 million, or 11.6. And we are 11.6%, and we are expecting those to come in slightly below budget at this point in time due to some anticipated O&M savings. Next slide, please. Here's the chart for the general fund. On the revenue side, obviously the big jump there that you see with the actuals is the CARES funding that we've received compared to last fiscal year. That's $5.3 million. So even when backing that off, we're still above where we were at this point last August, which is pretty incredible. On the expenditure side, we're at the 5.2 versus the 6.4 million for last fiscal year. Some of the big differences there is the payroll timing. Last year, I believe we had about one and a half payrolls that had posted in July. Some of the first payroll had been accrued back to the previous year. And then we also, as you may recall, processed the PSPRS, the $500,000 unfunded liability payment last fiscal year. And we had processed that, I believe, in August. So that is some of the differences that you're seeing there in terms of the comparison. Next slide. Moving on to the highway fund, things pretty vanilla there. The state shared highway user revenues are doing fine. Those are at about $588,000 through August, or 17% of budget. We are still expecting those to come in on budget right now. For the expenditures, those are usually low through August, particularly in the highway fund, because of pavement preservation hasn't really started yet. Some of the other capital projects tend to kind of lag with the spending a little bit. But those will ramp up and commence later in the fiscal year. And so expenditures are also expected on budget at this point in time. Next slide, please. Here's the chart for the highway fund, just comparing to last fiscal year. On the revenue side, we're down about $200,000, but that is really 100% due to, you may recall, a one-time payment last fiscal year of about $200,000 that all cities and towns received through the state budget. So that is the reason for the difference there. And then expenditures at about $200,000, and that's flat to last fiscal year. Next slide, please. Moving on to the Community Center Fund, contracted revenues are at just under 14%, or $487,000 through August. Obviously, we see some seasonality there with the revenues, but those are trending as expected, particularly with the golf revenues. The town operating revenues, no surprise there, those are sharply below budget at this point in time. There's been some refunds. Obviously, the facility was closed up until October. We'll need to continue watching those closely. We did not anticipate in the budget that the facility would be closed for the long period of time that it was. And so we'll watch those and maybe revising those as the year progresses. The half-cent sales tax revenues are trending as expected. Those are just under $400,000 through August for 16% of budget. Again, strong retail and online collections helping there. On the expenditure side, the contracted expenditures, they're trending as expected, about $779,000 through August, or just over 17% of the budget. And the town operating expenditures, related to the fact that the facility was closed, those are considerably below budget at this point, both on the O&M and the personnel side. And so when we go about adjusting those year-end estimates for revenues, if we need to do so, I would expect some savings on the expenditure side as well. Next slide, please. Here's the chart for the Community Center Fund. Things really pretty flat to last fiscal year. On the revenues, that's pretty incredible, actually, considering that the facility was closed. Really, those golf revenues are helping to cover that that shortfall that we're seeing with the operating revenues there. Expenditures at about $1 million through August compared to $1.1 million last fiscal year. So pretty flat there on the expenditures too. And with that, I think that's our last slide, and we'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Any questions from council? Wendy, I had a question regarding the attachment C1. I did a comparison between July and August. And I looked at the revenues and the revenue for the year-end estimate for July C1 was 3.5 million. For August, it's I'm rounding 3.2 million, so mm-hmm. about $300,000. Is that a reflection of what actuals are coming in and projecting out, or why the difference between those two?
Mr. Mayor, yes, it is. That is a forecast provided by Antares as of August. With July, with just 1 month in, we generally stick to budget at that point for just 1 month, but we will now be gathering monthly updates from them and providing those revised estimates in the financials.
And so that would also be true on the expenditure side. So it kind of balanced itself out. I mean, we're showing an ending fund balance that's less in the August year-to-date financials than we saw in July.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Thank you for verifying that. Any other questions? All right. Ms. Gomez, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
No problem.
Mr. Standish, item 4.
Proclamation, Down Syndrome Awareness Month.
Thank you. I'd like to read this proclamation for the Down Syndrome Awareness Month, October 2020. Whereas approximately one in every 691 children are born with Down syndrome, representing an estimated 6,000 births per year in the United States, and there are over 250,000 individuals living with Down syndrome in the United States, and possessing a wide range of abilities, people with Down syndrome are active participants in educational, occupational, social, and recreational circles of our communities. And I Can Too was established by the Oro Valley Parks and Recreation Department in 2016 so that youth with special needs, to include Down syndrome, have the opportunity to participate in parks and recreation programs alongside their non-disabled peers. And whereas individuals with Down syndrome should have equal opportunity to achieve the universally desired goals of self-fulfillment, pride in their achievements, inclusion in their community, and reaching their fullest potential, now therefore I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim October 2020 as Down Syndrome Awareness Month. In the town of Oro Valley, and encourage our citizens to work together to promote respect, inclusion of individuals with Down syndrome, and to celebrate their accomplishments, talents, and contributions. We don't have anyone this evening to receive this proclamation. If we wanted to make that proclamation, Mr. Standish, item 5.
Proclamation, National Disability Employment Awareness Month.
Thank you. I'll read this proclamation. Whereas workplaces welcoming of the talents of all people, including people with disabilities, are a critical part of our efforts to build an inclusive community and a strong economy. And in this spirit, the town of Oro Valley is recognizing National Disability Employment Awareness Month this October, to raise awareness about disability employment issues and celebrate the many and varied contributions of peoples with disabilities. And whereas the town of Oro Valley values the talent of people with disabilities, add to our workplaces and communities, and affirm the town's commitment to an inclusive community. Now therefore, I, Joseph C. Winfield, Mayor of Oro Valley, do hereby proclaim October 2020 as National Disability Employment Awareness Month. In the town of Oro Valley, I call upon employers, schools, and other community organizations in Oro Valley to observe this month with appropriate programs and activities, and to advance its important message that people with disabilities are equal to the task throughout the year. We don't have anyone here this evening to receive this proclamation either, but I appreciate the opportunity to make those declarations. I will now go to the consent agenda of our agenda this evening.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor?
Councilmember Solomon.
I'd like to pull item B.
Okay. So we have the minutes. Someone like to make a motion to approve the minutes.
I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of October 7th, 2020.
A second.
So a motion made by Councilmember Solomon, seconded by Councilmember Pena to approve the October 7th, 2020 regular session minutes. Mr. Standish?
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Aye.
Councilmember Jones Ivey?
Aye.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Pena?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodman?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes, the motion passes 7-0. Mr. Solomon?
Yes. This town prides itself on a large number of boards and commissions that we have that are basically staffed by volunteers who put in a lot of time and hard work. And in the most part, these boards and commissions are very valuable, and they provide the public opportunity for additional input, and they provide well-defined input and guidance for the council. Unfortunately, that has not been the case with the Budget and Finance Committee. In fact, the public has made it clear that they are unhappy with this commission and do not wish to see it continued. It's very sad to say, but one can simply look at the public record. All the meetings are recorded. All the emails that council and the town has received regarding this commission are a matter of public record. And the community was, frankly, outraged by the action of this commission, particularly in regard to its consideration of the town and the town-operated golf courses. They were outraged by the fact to attend these meetings and watch the commission basically state that the town's audited financial numbers regarding the golf course were false and misleading. The public was astounded when commission members then proposed that they had their own set of numbers that were in contradiction to the town's numbers and painted a completely false image of the golf course. Hundreds and hundreds of homeowners whose property and lives were put on hold by meeting after meeting of this commission putting false, inaccurate information. Once again, listen to the meetings or check your public record. We have many emails and statements from the residents. They were very upset with violations of the open meeting law that occurred with the operation of this commission and obvious political influences of this commission, and that it had an obvious political agenda as opposed to being an unbiased expert panel. There has been no information that has come out of this commission that has been provided to council that has, actually, I don't recall any official communication out of this commission that has been useful to this council. I am a big supporter of commissions and our volunteers. In fact, myself and the prior council extended the term limits from 2 terms to 3 terms to keep valuable, experienced residents on commissions. Unfortunately, this council, one of the official actions was to terminate any volunteer serving on a commission in their 3rd term and not let them finish out that term, which was quite an insult to the members of the various boards and commissions that this affected. Therefore, based on the public outrage regarding this commission and its track record, I would make the motion to disapprove the continuance of the Budget and Finance Commission.
Mr. Mayor.
I'm waiting for a second, Councilmember Jones Ivey.
Sorry, excuse me.
Okay, so hearing no second, Council Member Jones Ivey, do you want to?
Yes, I did. I want to address Councilman Solomon's accusations. This is a very new commission. I don't think it's been given time to really develop. I think everything that you've said is overinflated. Our citizens feel no compunction about emailing us when they're unhappy about something. I believe that this commission has been very, very and diligently provided us the best information that they could. No commission is perfect. They are advisors to us only. We do not have to take their advice. And as I have been liaison to other committees and boards, I can tell you that not everybody comes back with what we'd like to hear. And for that reason, to just negate this commission, it just is not necessary. I think they need time. They're newly formed, and we ought to give them an opportunity to become the kind of commission that we want them to be. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I move that we, let me take my glasses off here. I move that we pass resolution number R20-51, approving the indefinite extension of the Budget and Finance Commission.
Second. Councilmember Nicholson, did you second?
Yes.
Okay, so Councilmember Jones-Ivey has made the motion, seconded by Councilmember Nicholson, to approve R20-51, approving the indefinite extension of the Budget and Finance Commission. Mr. Standish, or discussion? Mr. Standish, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Aye.
Councilmember Jones-Ivey?
Aye.
Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Pena?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodman?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
No.
Mayor Winfield?
Yes. Thank you. We'll go to the regular agenda. Item one, Mr. Standish.
Required public hearing pursuant to ARS section 9-471 to discuss the possible annexation of the Westward Look Resort.
Thank you. Staff report, please.
Sorry about that, Mr. Mayor. I was trying to get unmuted by the host. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. The purpose of tonight's meeting is to discuss the possible annexation of Westward Look. Next slide, please. If you'll recall, back in July of this year, the council adopted a new town annexation policy. And included in priority one area is the Westward Look. Town staff has been having ongoing discussions with Westward Look, and they have shown interest in a proposed annexation. And so on September 28th, town staff went to the Pima County Recorder's Office and filed a blank petition, a map, and legal description of that area. Per state statute, signatures on petitions filed for annexation may not be obtained for a waiting period of 30 days, and town council is required to hold a public hearing within 10 days of the 30-day waiting period. So that is the purpose of tonight's meeting, and this meeting will solely focus on the annexation and no other processes that are happening separately, such as the rezoning and general plan amendment. Next slide, please. To just refresh everybody what an annexation is, it is a process in which municipalities incorporate into new territory, into their municipal boundaries. And of course, not just, you know, do we follow state law, our annexation policy, as well as town code. And so for state law, in order for an annexation to be successful, more than 50% plus one of the owners must sign a petition in favor of the annexation. In this case, there's one property owner, and that is the Westward Look Resort. And then petitions must be filed with the Pima County Recorder within 1 year after the last day of the 30-day waiting period, and that is on October 28th of 2021. Next slide, please. And then also just wanted to take us back to our annexation history. And if you look sort of at the bottom, the center of the map, that green area that says 1974, that was Oro Valley's when we were incorporated. And it was only just over two square miles. And so you can see with over 48 successful annexations, we have grown to over 32 square miles. And Oro Valley is what it is today through annexations. Next slide. As part of, again, the annexation policy just recently adopted and in concert with our general plan, it is staff's job, you know, in presenting this to look at the benefits of annexation. And so we're looking at the diverse and robust economic base and financial and economic stability that the Westward Look could bring to Oro Valley through, of course, bed and sales tax. Additionally, with the Westward Look, it's going to provide the community with an additional resort. Currently, we only have one resort as part of our portfolio, as well as some wonderful amenities, dining, and special event opportunities. Next slide. So what is next? Wanted to show the timeline. So we, of course, have had two neighborhood meetings as town staff with the neighbors, as well as with Westward Look Resort and the Planning Center. On October 7th, there was a public hearing on the general plan amendment and rezoning. Hopefully I just said October. So you were initiated that rezoning. Now, of course, tonight is the first public hearing with the annexation. Then what will be next is we will be bringing the Planning and Zoning Commission, the general plan amendment and rezoning for their consideration for approval. And then on January 20th, we will bring the translational zoning, the general plan amendment, the rezoning, the pre-annexation development agreement, as well as the annexation ordinance. All of these dates are subject to change. But as you can see, both of these processes are running parallel. And so again, tonight, Mr. Mayor, council is not required to take any action. This is a public hearing to gather public comment on the annexation. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Amanda Jacobs. We appreciate your presentation this evening.
You're welcome.
I'd like to open the public hearing, but before I open the public hearing, I want to remind our citizens that have joined us this evening that this is a public hearing about the potential annexation of the Westward Look Resort property as required by state law. It is not specifically about the Westward Look's application to obtain a rezoning and amendment to the general plan. As the staff outlined, the application is still in the early stages and has its own separate but parallel process. The next step in that process is a public review and discussion by the Planning and Zoning Commission, after which that matter will be on the town council's agenda in probably January, as Ms. Jacobs showed. The staff reviewed this schedule in their presentation, and citizens can engage in public hearings for that process as well. Of course, we encourage your participation. The focus of tonight's public hearing, however, is the annexation and not the application to obtain a rezoning and amendment to the general plan. In accordance, I ask that anyone wanting to speak at this public hearing understand its intended focus on the possible annexation of the Westward Look Resort property and consider framing those comments accordingly. So I would like to open the public hearing for this agenda item. So if you've joined us this evening to speak, this would be the time to go to that participants icon at the bottom of the page. If your platform is Zoom this evening or computer, and click on your name. Then when you do that, you'll see a hand icon. You click on that to raise your hand. If you're calling in by phone, you would press star 9. So I have one hand raised at this point. Mr. Matthew Bailey.
Good evening. So can you hear me? Please,
we can hear you. So thank you, staff, for unmuting Mr. Bailey. And if you would introduce yourself and whether or not you're a resident of Oral Valley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council. My name is Matt Bailey, and I'm an attorney with the law firm of Rustine, Lopez, and Lazzardi. I am not a resident of Oral Valley, but our firm does represent Miss Elizabeth Dudley, who is at 221 East Vista Westay Drive. That, too, is not located within Oral Valley. It's within Pima County, but it is immediately adjacent to the Westward Look Resort. On behalf of Ms. Dudley, we thank you for the opportunity tonight. I also want to acknowledge that I did submit some written comments earlier today on the same subject. I have spoken a few times now at these meetings on Ms. Dudley's behalf, and I hope that you're understanding that she is very passionate about the long-term protection of what we're calling the 23-acre parcel. And as you undoubtedly know, that 23-acre parcel is part of the Westward Look property. As this process has unfolded, Ms. Dudley has gone from originally thinking that the 23-acre parcel would remain as open space. Now she feels much more uncertain about that, and she's deeply concerned. She's now at the point also of asking for your help, and specifically help to ensure the long-term protection of that parcel. Ms. Dudley is requesting that the town requires a condition of any zoning approval for the Westward Look property and the annexation, that Westward Look record a covenant that runs the land to protect the 23-acre parcel as natural open space, and that gives her and her adjacent homeowners the ability to ensure that it stays protected. In the written materials that I provided earlier, I attached a draft covenant, which I hope you'll consider. And in making this request, Ms. Dudley asked that you view the annexation and the overall process that you are going through and looking at the Westward Look property as a package deal, and that that package deal includes protection of that 23-acre parcel. She feels that this is a reasonable compromise and really would result in a positive outcome for all parties. For example, first, the town will be able to annex the property. Westward Look would get some of the intended benefits that are not the subject of tonight's discussion. And third, the town and Westward Look and the general community would get the benefit of protected open space. Well, that's about it, Mrs. Dudley's request for your help and your leadership. We thank you for your time, and we hope that you will consider this deeply, and I'll be available for any questions that you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. I would like to invite now Mr. John Richardson, and so staff, if you would unmute Mr. Richardson. And Mr. Richardson, if you would please state your name and if you're a resident of Oral Valley or not. Would you like your camera unmuted?
Yes, please. Hi, thank you. My name is John Richardson. I am not a resident of Oro Valley. I am in the affected area that is receiving notice of all these, you know, the various matters. I understand tonight's meeting is related to the annexation, and that's a fairly narrow issue compared to the other issues that are presented. But, you know, anytime a governing body like yours is presented with an annexation of basically what looks like a strip, you know, a finger that's going to be surrounded on three sides by non-annexed area, I think it imposes a particularly strong duty to look at the actions that you eventually take. This is not a square block or a block that just says, okay, here's a, you know, the town's larger. This is kind of a finger extending down out of the normal area of Oro Valley. And so as we go through the process, you know, I think would ask that the council members remember that this process is much more impactful for those, for many, many people that are outside the town of Oro Valley than inside. It can be done. It can be done well and carefully. It just has to be done with the recognition that these type of, you know, kind of a strip annexation almost are unique and require great care and consideration on your part not to have it turn out poorly. Thank you. That's all I'd like to say.
Thank you, Mr. Richardson. We appreciate you joining us this evening. Again, if there's anyone that would like to speak during this public hearing on the possible annexation of the Westward Look Resort, this would be your opportunity to speak. And to do that, you would click on the participants list, find your name, click on your name, and then click on the hand icon. Or if you're calling by phone, *9, press *9. So seeing no raised hands, I'm going to close the public hearing and open it to the council for questions, comments to Ms. Amanda Jacobs.
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
I don't know if this is for Amanda or for our legal staff. Can you give us some background on the 1972 agreement? I mean, my understanding is we're all under the assumption that it's open space and that's how it's going to be shown. Any legal information on what the form of that agreement and how enforceable it is?
Mr. Mayor and Councilmember Solomon, if I may, I've already requested your attorneys to prepare a legal opinion to council that is under development, and that will be provided as a confidential memorandum to council in the near future.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Other questions, comments? Ms. Amanda Jacobs, in our annexation strategy, the annexation policy, there's a fiscal impact analysis that is required. Will that be forthcoming? And when can the council expect to receive that?
Mr. Mayor, that is correct. The fiscal impact analysis is underway, and that should be forthcoming in 30 days or less.
Okay, very good. It also states in our policy that future annexations of the town shall be generally consistent with the policies and the planning area of the town's adopted general plan. And in our annexation strategy, it in fact identifies some of the general plan goals. But of course, our general plan is much more inclusive than what's here. And I would just like to ask that we, of course, give consideration to all of the goals and policies within our general plan as it relates to this particular property. I'd like to just cite a few. So under development goals, effective transition, so it's X, goal X, under, so 5.4, development goals X, effective transitions between differing land uses and intensities in the community. And then under policies, under neighborhoods and quality of life, this is LU .5, provide diverse land uses that meet the town's overall needs and effectively transition in scale and density adjacent to neighborhoods. And then just immediately below that, LU .6, maintain the small town neighborly character and improve the design and safety of the built environment. And so I'm not saying These are just some examples, and so I'm just asking that we, apply the entire general plan to this particular property.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I appreciate those comments. Staff will certainly do so.
I had another. It's item 6 in our policy. It's lands annexed by the town shall have existing ordinance zoning translated to Oro Valley districts in conformance with state law and to densities and uses no greater than those permitted by the zoning ordinance of the governing jurisdiction immediately before annexation. Could you just speak to that particular policy and how that applies to this property and to the process?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to defer that to Mr. Byervella.
Okay.
Mayor, Council, so this is a state legal requirement that the first step after an annexation is to what's called translate the zoning. So this happens with every annexation the town's done in the past. So what happens is there's an evaluation of the current county zoning, and the town must translate it to the equivalent zoning within our zoning categories. So right now it's zoned for 1-acre lots, residential in the county, so it'll be immediately translated into our closest matching district. So this comports with state law that tells us that translations can't add rights and it can't subtract rights. It has to be even Steven. So that's step one. And that will be placed on your January agenda as step one. Step two will be looking at the general plan amendment. And then step three would be looking at a new zoning to planned area development. This is all, of course, subject to being annexed in the first place.
Okay. Are those steps that you just described? I heard three steps, Mr. Bell. Is that correct?
Correct. Yes, sir. That's, again, assuming the council approves the annexation, the next step would be to translate the zoning, followed by consideration of a general plan amendment to accommodate the third item, which would be rezoning to planned area development.
And do those three steps, can they occur at one council meeting?
Yes, sir, Mayor, they can, and they'll be scheduled in the same exact agenda, so everyone can look at this case comprehensively.
Okay. The other thing that I'd like to bring just to staffs, and this, again, is just pulled from our annexation strategy, annexation criteria. There's an item, the proceed level of support for annexation by affected property owners and residents. And I realize that the as this gentleman just stated, that the affected property owners and residents are really outside the boundaries of Oro Valley. But nevertheless, it is our criteria to be, I think, sensitive to the affected property owners and residents. And I just ask staff in your deliberations with the applicant that our annexation strategy, the criteria, our policies, the general plan, that we are applying all of these that are applicable to this annexation proposal.
Absolutely, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, sir.
Any other comments, questions?
Mayor.
Councilmember Nicholson.
Mr. Mayor, can I just jump in? Mr. Mayor, I'm so sorry to interrupt, and Councilmember Nicholson, I apologize. I just want to briefly jump in here. If we have questions about the process for the annexation, I'll let that go. But really, this agenda item tonight, the way it's been worded, is pretty pretty limited to the public hearing. Maybe that wasn't intended, but that's the language of the item. So as long as we're good.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I just want to be careful here, and I don't want to go much longer or much further, but if you have questions on the process, I think that for a little bit, that's okay. Thank you.
Okay. Questions on process. So it sounds like I was outside the lane there on our purpose this evening.
Mayor?
Yes, Councilmember Nicholson.
see if it's okay to ask Gary. Can you explain? So we had a couple people try and speak. Can you explain to them why what we're doing tonight and why we couldn't answer certain type of questions? Because this is kind of a legal thing, and I don't know. I do know that we talked about it, but just so they know that why this process is going the way it is and why we couldn't really answer questions.
I mean, the main reason is that I don't think there was anything intentional about that. It's just for whatever reason the agenda item wasn't broad enough, so it wasn't intentional. However, I know I can say this on behalf of all of you. I know that the seven of you are very available to meet with people, to talk to people, to take emails. So if anybody has any questions for all of you, I know I can say this on your behalf that you're willing to listen and talk to people. So, but the only reason those questions aren't being answered right now is because of the way it's been listed on the agenda.
Thanks.
Okay, any other questions about the annexation process? Thank you, Mr. Cohen, for clarifying. Okay, hearing no additional questions, thank you, Ms. Amanda Jacobs. We appreciate your presentation. Mr. Vella, thank you for your contributions this evening as well. Council, any future agenda items?
Mr. Mayor.
Councilmember Solomon.
Yes, as I think all council members are aware, we've been getting quite a bit of emails and concerns from the HOAs and the owners surrounding the Pusch Ridge Golf Course, because COVID-19 has drastically changed what was earlier anticipated would occur with that property. And they feel they've never had an opportunity to publicly discuss their situation. So I would request that the November 18th meeting include the following item: discussion and possible action regarding the Pusch Ridge Golf Course.
Is a second needed, Mr. Cohen?
Not at this time, but certainly sometime before 12 days.
Well, I second. Okay. I second.
There you go.
All right. Thank you. Any other agenda items for November 18th? Okay, hearing none, I move to adjourn this evening's meeting.
Second.
Thank you, Councilmember Pena. Mr. Standish, roll call vote, please.
Vice Mayor Barrett?
Aye.
Councilmember Jones-Ivy?
On mute.
Yep, I believe she's on mute.
Yes.
Thank you. Councilmember Nicholson?
Yes.
Councilmember Pena?
Yes.
Councilmember Rodman?
Yes.
Councilmember Solomon?
Yes.
And Mayor Winfield?
Yes. Thank you, Council.